3 from Alabama.
Took 2 from Bama. They play today.
Mississippi Valley State.
Mississippi Valley State. And then tomorrow, we're in North Little Rock at Dickie Stevens.
Yeah.
Jim Harris, SportingLifeArkansas.com, SportingLifeArkansas.com, joining us.
I almost fell asleep. Wait, get off hold. What's up?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because many people will say their nap time is usually from 11 to 11:30, but on Tuesdays. But anyway.
But, yes, I don't know anything about baseball. I know that the kid pitched a great game on Saturday. Trey, I have no idea what his last name is. He's from Mountain Home, I think.
Well, I'm sure you'll know it when they come tomorrow. You going to the game?
I have been so focused. No, I'm not. So focused on baseball, on basketball, and I have peripherally followed the Razorback baseball team. I know that they've had trouble scoring runs until Sundays, it seems like, and they erupt when the pitching for the Florida, I'm not even sure what the Alabama Sunday score ended up being, but it seems like Arkansas's had struggled against the really good pitchers, which,
right.
You're supposed to struggle against a better pitcher. You're supposed to have your hardest times there. Trey Killian for Arkansas has been getting the second start the last couple of games. Pitched a fantastic game at Florida, lost 1-0. Pitches a 2-1 complete game, 4-hit effort on Saturday. Earns SEC, pitcher of the week,
mm-hmm.
player of the week. I say player. I'm giving him SEC player of the week. He's
go
a
right
SportingLifeArkansas.com SEC player of the
week. Give him player of the year for all I care,
what
Jim.
What a terrific job he did to stem the tide, pun intended.
Wow.
After Alabama beat Arkansas and knocked out, their Friday night pitcher and won 17-9. They had a football game. I hope the football game's that close this year. So what can I say except they'll be at Dickie Stevens tomorrow night, and I guess there may be a ticket or two still left, but that's usually a hot item. It'll be a little warmer than it is today. I think I know a lot of people that are going.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a chance, I'll traipse over there if I can get a general admission seat.
Oh, I'm sure we'll be able to find a couple
won't
seats,
let
Jim.
Me in the press box, dude.
No?
No, they won't let me in the press box.
Is it that rash? They think it's contagious still?
Pretty much.
No, I'm just
I don't
kidding.
Think they want me in the same tiny room of Jim Elder, Jim Bailey.
Too many
press
gyms.
Box,
yeah, way so. Too many gyms. I can't I mean that's just way too many gyms.
If I'm in there too, that's just that's too much gyms and it just kind of swells. Place,
but, yeah, the pencil sharpener will go nuts. Are you kidding me? All you old school guys, all you old scribes. Jim,
we could talk a little bit about. I agree with your grade on basketball. If you want to
let's talk a little Hogs. Hogs basketball.
Minus, I told you last week, and I think we've been talking about this before. I mean, if you can't see a 1-for-6 or 1-for-7 night coming from Bell after he goes 6-for-8. I mean, you're just not paying attention. I mean, he is not – he's just not that that other guy that you've got the same name that played for the Hogs.
Yes.
Matt Bradley.
Yes.
Remember him?
I know
he
that
could
guy.
Play. He could shoot.
Good-looking guy.
Did he ever have any nights where he'd go 6-for-8-for-3 and then come back the next game and not be able to hit the broadside of a barn? Did that ever happen?
I'm sure it did. I just know he tried to preach consistency. And that's really what, dependability, day in, day out.
I think pure shooters can bring it every night unless they're well defended. I don't know if Bell's problem necessarily was the defense he was going up against. He missed some open shots, the whole team. It was like a replay for a while of the Alabama game all over again, just on the road. I'm talking about the first Alabama game, not the 25-point loss at Tuscaloosa. If you remember that game, Portis made basically all his shots, and that wasn't necessarily the case last night. But at one time, it's 31-8, and if Bobby Portis isn't playing, it's 31-0.
Yeah, right.
Could you imagine He
started up, what, you said first eight points last night, didn't he?
He had the first 8 points. It was 31-8, and he had all 8 points.
What can you take from last night's game? And let's fast forward a few months.
Take last night's game, please.
Take it. Get rid of it.
Yeah,
throw it away.
A couple
positives. Was there anything that you can look at or some negatives going into next season?
I think you know, Moses Kingsley is going to be much improved next year. He gave him 15 minutes last night. Still would have loved to have seen. If Portis, I'm going to jump around here. I'm trying not to, but for a long part of that game, you know, Portis wanted to play out in the, you know, between about 15 feet and the three-point line.
Mm-hmm.
In a period where Arkansas really had an edge this time because California doesn't have Richard Solomon, they could have probably scored a little more efficiently with more patience. They were very impatient, you know, jacking up threes early in the clock again. I guess what I don't understand, and what I take from the game is a little bit of concern, is that when Coach Anderson says that we the quote was that we settled for the three a lot.
Sure.
Well, he's the coach. I mean, he's putting those guys out there. If he doesn't want them to settle for the three, he's got 12 guys he can play. I mean, Ricky Scott, you would hope he wouldn't settle for the three, but he was at least late in the season driving to the basket, you know, a few times. And that, I'm just concerned as to why that ends up being the explanation that we settled for the three instead of what I think was obvious is that every time down the court on offense, Portis should have touched the ball in the low post or on that block. He should have touched at least one time.
You know, that obviously the beginning of the game, Cal knew they wanted to come out in that zone and bait the Hogs into shooting as many threes as they could. So I thought the first few possessions – you had guys, Antlon Bell, a few other guys. I don't know if Cody Clark might have shot one. They had shot open, shot good looks, right? In that first couple times down, they were jump shots. Now, the next few times down the court, they're actually getting some layup, missing some bunnies.
They did.
And so now you take the first six, seven, eight trips down the floor, you miss a couple jump shots, you miss a couple bunnies. You don't take care of business on the other end. Cal, all of a sudden you blank, Cal's up 10, right? So it's like 18-8. And now you've what happens is you've dug yourself a hole. You've kind of lost your understanding, and you're kind of starting to press a little bit. You look up, it's 18-8, then it's 20-8. And now you're saying, well, we got to play catch-up ball. And once that happens, I don't care if you're Bobby Knight on that sideline, you're not going to convince a kid to be patient. Relax, run your offense. It's not a crime if we shoot with 30 seconds past in the, you know, 5 seconds on the shot clock. It's just, you know, those guys, it's funny. I forget it. Might have been Popovich or somebody. I don't know who it was. Talking about their timeouts. He's like, sometimes I wait until the end of the last 5 seconds of the timeout because they're not going to remember half the stuff I say. It's just, you know, and that's why it's so – and you talk about the shooters – guys making shots. I truly believe an inconsistent shooter in a game, an inconsistent player in a game, is a guy that doesn't live to his routine on a daily basis. The way you become consistent is you do it over and over and over, and the result is the game. So if you expect to have a bad shooting night, come in the gym the next day and shoot 1,000 shots, next game have a good shooting day, and not continue that same practice
pattern.
It's going to be inconsistent.
Night, you know,
it's going So
I don't think Arkansas can change what they did this year if certain players don't change and do what you're saying. I mean, I don't know if it takes a reminder. I would hope that next year with a year of working in the summer for Portis that he'll be a stronger player on the block that he just can't. I think Mike got through to him late in the game. It was almost too late, or it was too late. But he looked like an inside force in the last 8 minutes, or I don't know exactly when it started, but I mean, he was really, you know, he kind of dominated the boards for a couple of minutes at the beginning, and then he dominated again late. He got double-digit rebounds, I think. I thought Harris did a better – Harris took up the load where, you know, how do you explain a night like Cody Clark had?
I know.
I mean, he just did not seem
– Jim, 0-for-4.
Yeah.
One assist, no rebounds.
He missed those two free throws also early when it's just beginning to, you know, get away from Arkansas.
Yeah.
And then he was – it just seemed like he was done. Yeah, no rebounds. I think he had an assist and a steal.
You know how painful it is for Mike Anderson, who was a point guard, a tough-as-nails point guard, to not be able to get his guys to run the offense, especially against his own, because they're going to watch that game tape.
Yeah.
The Pearl will be able to watch it today. It's probably going to take about a month. And look at all the missed opportunities offensively that they had. I mean, right there, right in front of them. They missed some good shots. They got frustrated, took some bad shots, some lackadaisical passes. It was all around. It was one of those games. It seems like we've had them a few times during this season where you scratch your head, you go, which team is this? Who are these people?
I mean,
what are these guys in these anthracite uniforms? It was the uniforms.
Well, I like those. I thought Arkansas had success in those uniforms, but I don't know. Success is kind of relative. I mean, Cal is an up and down team too. I don't think they necessarily looked awesome last night, but this is still the same Cal team without Richard Solomon playing. He had a concussion that beat Arizona on their home court. So, I mean, they're not – I mean, I think Arizona may win it all. I think they've got a great shot at it. And that's – I mean, look what Arkansas accomplished this year. They did beat Kentucky twice. They've had a good year, but Cal beating Arizona at home – tells me that Cal overall, if Cal and Arkansas played seven times, I'm pretty sure the Bears would win the seven games.
Maybe so with that big Richard Solomon. Jim Harris, SportingLifeArkansas.com, joining us. Jim, let's turn our attention to a little bit of this NCAA tournament. First, I'm going to ask you about this past weekend, some of the games that stuck out to you, any surprising games, and then, of course, I'm going to ask you about this upcoming weekend.
I shouldn't have been surprised with Cincinnati. I had them going a little further than they did because Harvard beat them. I should have studied Harvard a little closer. They actually, Harvard had a little guard that looked like he was 14. That was a good player. I mean, he didn't look like he was old enough to be in high school.
Harvard-Cincinnati, what a dynamic. Imagine that game about 20 years ago when Bob Huggins was there. That'd be like the criminals versus the lawyer. I'm going to be representing you in a few years.
Well, maybe. I'm not sure it's not that far away from it now. I think Cincinnati is still a little on the –
Let me ask you this about conferences.
You know what I'm saying. I think they're kind of thuggish. Maybe.
Let me ask you this about conferences.
Yeah.
Everybody likes to carry that banner when you don't have your team still left in the game. We tend to try to root for conferences. Can you look at this? Some people think they can. They enjoy it. Can you look at it and say any kind of – take anything away from who's left in the tournament in terms of conferences and try to determine if – SEC wasn't respected enough, or if they were, it's just the top three teams have done a great job.
I think there's like 70 teams out there that it depends when they're hot or not. Arkansas was hot for about an 10-game stretch and weren't hot here. I think Kansas was the overall best team in the Big 12, but they weren't hot here at tournament time. The teams that are hot out of the Big 12, as it turns out, or Iowa State, which can even win without, you know, George Jang breaking his foot. Baylor, the only teams those two teams have lost to in their last 10 games are each other. which is interesting. Baylor and Iowa State have beaten each other, and that's it.
Wow.
And they're the hottest teams out of that league. I mean, Baylor puts a 30-point thrashing on Creighton. I wasn't all that sold on the Atlantic 10 to start with.
Right.
As it turns out, I think Dayton was one of the teams tied for fifth, were they not? Actually comes out of that league, you know, into the Sweet 16. They're the hotter team of any of those clubs that came out of the A-10 that Krzyzewski was so hard on. I like how Virginia's playing. They're playing much, much better than I expected they would. The rest of the ACC, I think, is gone, which, again, kind of didn't surprise me. I think it's a great league within itself, but
let me ask you this. Let me
ask. A lot of defense played in that league this year.
Two questions, because
Virginia.
We won't. We'll talk to you next Tuesday, which will be after the national championship game.
Yeah.
So,
no, it'll be after the Sweet 16.
I mean, yeah, after the Sweet 16.
It'll be when we know who the Final Four is, and that'll be a lot of fun.
I'm not going to ask you who you had in your bracket, but I'm going to ask you this weekend, who do you have advancing to the Final Four, as is now the game set for this weekend, not who you had originally.
Well, you know, I'm going to
A little redemption for you here, Jim.
I'm
going to give you some odds from Bovada.
I really believe this now. I think Kentucky might be good enough to beat Louisville again. I had Louisville going to the Final Four, but, you know, Kentucky beat them in December at Rupp, and I think they're better now.
Okay.
And I think the guy that's playing pretty well for them and helping give them a good break when they need to pull, you know, Randall and Colley Stein is Poydras. He's really giving them a good break, you know, scoring both outside and rebounding. I think he's playing a lot better. The twins are playing better. I think they could come out of that bracket.
Okay,
now,
so UK
they could make the Final Four.
Yeah,
I feel Florida will do it. Let's see. I think Arizona is just too much over there. I expect them to beat San Diego State. I thought they looked bad against New Mexico State. They did about everything they could to kind of give that game away at the end in the first round, and I didn't think I'd be saying this, but I think Virginia has the defense and the shooting, and I think they're on an amazing roll. They may be able to.
Yeah, they look good. They
make
certainly
it
did.
Now, I think what you really look for is who's playing the best defense. I wish I could say I'm confident that Tennessee could beat Michigan. I think they could, but I don't even think the. I hate to say this, but I don't think the Stripes are going to let them win.
Oh, wow, Jim. All right. Already building an excuse. I love it.
I think you'll see Stokes probably get foul trouble because of some picky calls. I think it'll be called that way. And I think Michigan's a great shooting team. I don't think they're a great defensive team, though.
Jim Harris, SportingLife, Arkansas.com. Thank you, buddy.